All right, so look, welcome back to another episode. I don't even know if we have numbers at this point, but we're constantly increasing the cast of characters. We're bringing back Sam, he did his assignment and he put up his playlist. And coming to the table, we don't do introductions. We let people introduce themselves. So please introduce yourself.
My name is Luis. I'll keep it at that.
Man. So Luis is here for a very special reason. Sam and I have chosen not to listen to Lil Nas X album as of yet. So we brought in somebody who I'm going to call you an expert because we like hyperbole around here. He's an expert.
Yeah, that's stretching it.
Yeah, on all things Lil Nas X. He was on him 3 years ago when he was still in high school putting out mixtapes in, where is he from? Texas, right? I don't know.
I know he moved to, I think, Georgia at some point. I don't know where he's from originally.
I assume he's from Texas because his first song had cowboys in it. And, well, I just fall for the marketing is what I do. But before we do that, Sam and I were talking pre-pod. I don't know if you saw this, but Diddy and Jermaine Dupri started yelling at each other on an Instagram Live the other day about Versus and who had a better career. And it was phenomenal because people their age and that amount of wealth should not be yelling at each other over social media. But I found it on YouTube and it's 8 minutes long. We're not going to do the whole 8 minutes.
But I would enjoy it if we did, to be honest, because it was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I found the last 2 minutes and it's going down. But bear with me. We're still getting used to like adding screens and things in, but we're doing this for the audience.
Okay.
Let's go.
I have not seen this. Anytime I see anyone post Instagram Live, I immediately get that notification off my screen because I have no interest in what people on Instagram Live have to say, generally.
I love the fact that Snoop's just up there chilling. Why is he even here?
Why not?
You should watch this live from the beginning because, like, yeah. Joe is a great curator of conversations. He knows who to bring into the mix. It's great. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. I think we can cut it there because we get the point. They're both rich. They apparently have some deep-seated dislike for each other, or at least a need to show it over social media. And apparently at every hip hop gathering, Snoop Dogg is invited. So my life goal now is to have something where Snoop just pops up and shows himself to be just the coolest guy ever.
Oh, he makes everything better just by being there.
What's up,
Matthew? He won that argument.
Yeah. I love that Fat Joe and Snoop just start singing along and clearly don't care that these two men are yelling at each other beneath them in the IG Live.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's like Sam said, WWE, free entertainment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the winners in this really are what, Swiss Beatz and Timbaland? I mean, they're just going to make a killing the moment that these two idiots agree to do a versus somewhere.
So I mean, absolutely. Those two deserve their flowers for creating a beautiful, beautiful platform and curating a lot of it. But also, I mean, it's the rising tides lift all boats, right? The fact that they've had the participation from the people that they've had has been super, super helpful. So
I would argue they stole this idea from me. Years ago, a friend of mine, Mike, and I had, this is how long ago it was, we had Microsoft Zunes, not iPods. We had Microsoft Zunes. And we would fill our 50 gigs of Zoom with music, and then we would sit in front of an audience and I would play a song and he had 30 seconds to choose his next song within the same genre and tempo and vibe to beat the song that I played. And this was it was such a structured thing that we had rules like unplayable songs. You cannot play like End of the Road because that's just not fair to anyone at any time. Or, you know, you can't play like Stairway to Heaven. Screw you. Don't play that song. And I feel like somebody was walking by and heard us doing this and stole it and gave it to Swiss Beatz. So I want my check. I want my flowers.
I'll give you your flowers.
Yeah, thank you. On to Lil Nas X. A young man who... So let me be clear. I don't like extra people. I don't like people who just have to be the center of attention in such a fantastic way that, you know, it turns me away. I don't want to hear you. I don't think anything you do is worth my time. And I was, an entreaty came from a good friend that said, hey, you should listen to this. It's better than Kanye and Drake's albums. And while I immediately said, well, this person should be discounted as a human being, I said, you know what? You've trusted him thus far. Give it a listen. And damned if one of those songs didn't make it onto this week's playlist, Sam. So I said, you know who should come on and defend his Lil Nas X tape? Young Louise. Welcome. Welcome and explain yourself, sir.
So I want to clarify something.
It's a piping hot take. That is.
No. Because you said better than Drake and Kanye albums, plural. Let me be clear. In the context of the pieces that they have produced this year, Lil Nas X has put together a better project as a whole than both Donda and CLB. Now, I say that from an overall perspective.
Okay.
You can't beat Kanye's production. You cannot.
Okay.
Right? You can't beat, I guess, to give CLB something, the features that it had, right? So it had some amazing features on it. But if you're listening to it as like a from start to finish, there is a flow, there's diversity of sounds, there's me personally, I like albums with a bit of a narrative. The narrative in Montero is structured pretty well. Whereas CLB and Donda have their high points, clearly very well produced. These guys know what they're doing. They're at the, you know, top of the food chain. Can't deny that it just sounds good. But in terms of content and the quality of like the piece that they put together, it's like it's a disappointment. Whereas Lil Nas X is that album was a nice surprise.
I think I hear what you're saying, and
also let me like I'm not gonna back away from my position too, but it's not like I went up to Guy and I was like, listen, I will die on this hill. This is better than what you've listened to. Like, fight me on this. No, I was saying I was surprised because from start to finish, I listened to Montero from start to finish, and I was like, I'd listen to it again, and I did, and I enjoyed it. CLB, Donda, I have no interest in re-listening to it from start to finish again.
The points are well taken on composition of an album, absolutely. And I, like you, Luis, I grew up in an era when like a narrative structure to an album, something that ties it all together, is like that's a given for me. Like if you're going to put out an album, there's going to be like a theme of the album. It's not just a collection of songs or whatever. But look at the stage that these three people are at in their careers. Early Kanye albums all had a narrative structure, all of it like tied together with skits with, you know, Faze on Love or whoever talking to him, or and you could argue that Drake had the same sort of thing, although not as strongly. Drake and Kanye don't need to make a album batch in the same sort of way as like a discrete unit in the same sort of way that Lil Nas X does. Also, they like there is a template for like what a Kanye album sounds like, right? He's been around long enough and has done enough, even though he has different eras of very different sounds and stuff like that. But you have an expectation for what a Kanye project is supposed to look like because he has set those expectations. Same sort of thing with Drake. Lil Nas X is he has the best performing song in Billboard Hot 100 history, but nobody knows like what is the universe that Lil Nas X is creating. We have ideas. We have ideas from his visual performances and stuff like that. But sonically, he's still laying that foundation in a way, which is why I'm not saying your points are I agree halfway on like the like I'm not gonna go listen through Donda all the way again. Probably not. But I do listen to like Keep My Spirit Alive a bunch. That, you know, I wake up every morning and listen to that for the past week, actually. But they don't need to do that, you know? Lil Nas X needs to do that in his career.
I mean, yeah. I'm in no way comparing Lil Nas X as an artist or the quality of their discographies, because you can't measure up to Drake and Kanye, honestly. Like, say what you will about them, their personalities, who they are, their current albums, their current singles, whatever. Like, they've proven that they're arguably some of the best, like, ever, if you want to go that far, right? So I'm not comparing their discographies or the quality of the work that they put out. They don't need to prove anything because they've already proven enough, right? I'm just picking at it, picking this fight, I guess, from a standalone, like what they put out this
year. What happened in the last 2 months?
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, like I wasn't looking for affirmation from Donda or CLB. It's like, prove to me that these are good artists. Right. I already know that they're good artists. Same thing with Lil Nas X. I wasn't like, you need to prove to me that you're creative. I know you're creative, but it was his debut album. So I was curious, like, what are you going to put out? The album itself was pretty good. It was solid for a debut album. I'm not a music expert, but I really enjoyed it. And I was kind of surprised by it.
I'd argue that the, I don't want to say anger, that's too strong, but the disappointment comes with Donda and CLB because of what they've done in the past. Whereas the, and I'll be honest, when I listened to Montero, sonically, it sounded good, but at the same time, slightly like, maybe I hadn't heard it before, but I'd heard something so close that I don't know if I'll remember this in a year. But definitely, the problem with Donda and the problem with CLB, in a lot of places, it didn't feel very current. It didn't feel like something that I wanted to hear today. If Donda had come out with 13 less tracks 2 years ago, I would have hailed it as an amazing Kanye album. But we're 2 years later now. If CLB had come out with 8 less tracks in 2 years ago, it's up there with Views probably, because it's sonically, it's in that same vein. But today, if we hold those three albums up, it kills me to say this, but Montero's a better album than both of those albums.
That's an excellent point. And it is worth underscoring that artists at different stages in their careers have different roles to play with where the music industry as a whole goes, right? Like, Lil Nas X as a newer person should be looking around the corner and like should be the bleeding edge. Now, if we're still looking to the champions of the 2010s or something like that for the new sound or what's the new hot shit, then we're like, that's wrong. Drake shouldn't be the innovator right now. Drake should be the best Drake, which is what he's doing. Yeah.
He's good. Drake is good at making music that his fans want to hear and that he's good at making. Like, that's a given, right? He's already proven he's good at what he does. He doesn't need to like reinvent the genre at all, right?
Honestly,
I think if you were like, I don't know what kind of twisted mind you would have that you're going to be like, all right, Lil Nas X, it's time for you to prove yourself compared to Drake and Kanye, which no, you would expect him to be the one making the innovative album to change the game. And Guy, to your point, yeah, that's listening to it, and this is not a negative at all, but you listen through it and you're not like, this is something so new, I'm never going to forget it, right? He has a very good knack for blending genres together in not so much as like an innovative and brand new way, but like you listen to it and you just think, it's been a while since I heard something like this on the radio or like other bigger artists do something. He blends rock, arguably like pop punk, pop, rap really well, and none of it feels super out of place. So it's cool to see him get creative with the music that he's doing, especially on a debut album. That takes a lot of confidence in your sound and, you know, believing that what you're doing is good, which major props for. Kanye and Drake, they don't need to do that. They can put out whatever they want and just be like, good to go.
Right.
Literally, because some of those songs like shouldn't have been released at all.
Some of them sounded like they'd been in the vaults for a few years and they just needed to fill out an album.
Or the engineer forgot to cut out the parts that he was supposed to cut out. Right. It was like, Kylix called.
No, don't lie. Neither of them have an engineer to cut stuff out. No one tells them no at this point.
No, definitively, Kanye has a real problem with self-editing. Like, he just, he keeps freaking with it until it's like overdone. It's like you just keep adding salt because it just needs a little more flavor. And then you just have a mess at the end.
How many versions did he re-release of The Life of Pablo when that first came out?
Oh my God, it was unbearable, the number of songs that were
changed. I'm pretty sure, like, in the day it released, I think I heard two different versions of a couple of songs hours after my first listen because he had changed it already.
Yeah.
Which is nuts to me.
Before
and he edited the genre.
Kai likes to call Drake the iPhone of rap, which is an apt comparison.
Is, man.
I will make
it's not an insult. It's
no, not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
I love my iPhone.
I will make another tech allusion or a comparison for Drake. Drake is like the Google of rap. Drake used to be the new thing that was hot, that then became hot as in the sense of new and innovative, and that then became a household name, a victim of their own success. And now all that they do is just take innovation from other people and incorporate it into their own camp. There's a whole, we all know about the Drake stimulus package. If Drake is featured on a new artist's song or whatever, then it's gonna catapult that. I Love McConan is a great example. I Love McConan had like a real, real hot song and then disappeared off the face of the earth.
It's going and, up on the weekend.
Exactly. And that's because Drake, or like when Fetty Wap, and I never want anything I say about Fetty Wap to be misconstrued as disrespect, because that man is really, really good. And I hope he makes a comeback. But Drake just like takes what the hot sound is for somebody and then like kind of incorporates it into one of his songs. And that's his nodded innovation. But that's the Google method. I'm just gonna buy it from somewhere else.
Drake's biggest skill is that he is infinitely likable. No matter what, it's like Drake knows if I check enough of these boxes and I've got this charisma and I'm likable, this album will do well. And let's be honest, Certified Lover Boy is going to do and has done well so far. Sure. I just saw that the Way Too Sexy, which to me is a garbage song, is doing phenomenally well right now.
How
you know what it is? It's not directed to us.
No.
He knows not. That there's a part of the album that is, but that ain't for us. That is for the strip clubs, and that is for the TikToks, and that is for the Instagrams, and that is for the captions on the Instagrams. And there is somewhere a 15-year-old girl who is losing her mind because some part of that song speaks to her spirit. I want that song to never be played again. But Drake knew what he was doing.
You were like going like a galaxy brain take on that that song, which is a travesty to the definition of music, was somehow created specifically tailored to extreme niches that will be very profitable for him in the long run.
Well, this but, is I what mean, he's done hey, before,
if,
though.
If the charts are saying that it's statistics, the charts, whatever, are saying that it's doing well.
That song,
I can't talk. I'm not the multi-millionaire.
It's going to live on TikTok. It's like that other song he did with the video where he's passing money out. And I thought it was a garbage song. And then I heard it everywhere for 3 months.
Oh, yeah. God's Plan. No, that music video was good.
Yeah. Yeah. The song's not good.
Yo, song's not good. That music video almost made me cry, man. That was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Come on.
So maybe I'm just dead inside because I was.
Yeah, that
like,
might be the case. Yeah,
because I was like, "Oh, you gave her a check, great."
I'm the type of person that like someone's doing like charity work, giving out money, clearly a publicity stunt. I don't care; it still makes me happy. So that entire music video of him being like, "Hey, I'm paying for your college education," people freaking out. It's like, God, you're like kind of scum for doing this for a music video, but also someone's going to college for free, so.
It's like that. I saw it in the same vein as that Maroon 5 video where they just popped up at people's weddings and played it. And it's like, am I the only one that knew about that video?
No, but I'm glad that I didn't know about that before, because that is extremely, extremely cringy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine also just showing up at someone's wedding and if one of them had turned them away, it's like, we don't want you here.
Right. I do not actually like your band. Do not come here.
Adam Levine, I've had a problem with you for years. You have to go.
Small fact about
Adam Levine.
No, not about Adam Levine. No. But about Too Sexy. That's Future's first number one.
Is that really?
It's Future's first number one on Billboard. Yeah.
All right. Here's the. No, it's not a secret shame. It's probably not culturally acceptable. I've never really enjoyed a Future album except for Hendrix, which was the one. It was the least Future album.
Mm. I don't think of him as an album maker in the same sort of way that Louis was talking about. Like, what is the narrative of the Future? There's not a whole lot of depth to the plot thinking about Future.
Let's get these perks. Let's do an unhealthy amount of drugs and alcohol tonight. I'm going to father a child with you. I'm going to leave. Someone else will fall for this same trick a month from now. I'll write an album.
Mm-hmm.
Future.
That man monetized
irresponsibility.
A subsection of the male experience. Incredible.
Yeah.
He is, for me, it's like The Weeknd rapped but wasn't as good as like The Weeknd. If you ever just stop and listen to the songs, you shouldn't be listening to this music. This music is not doing anything good for your soul.
It's but salacious. somehow
it just works for him. I remember my mom was watching the Super Bowl halftime show with me when The Weeknd did it. And she's like, "It sounds really good. Should I listen to his music?" You should not. You should absolutely not listen to this music in any way. These are the only songs that you should ever hear from him.
My mom sings that song, "Can't Feel My Face," all the time. I'm like, "Mom, you don't know what that means." Yeah.
It's, he's not feeling his face for love, Mom. That's drugs.
It's all right. It's all right. Let her enjoy it.
We've talked Lil Nas X currently. Do we see him having a future? Like, is he going to be, let's just use Future, for example. This is his first number one, but he's had sustained success for what in the music industry would be considered a very long time. It's probably less than a decade, but that's enough to build an entire life off of. Will Lil Nas X have this extended run?
So, okay, if we're going to talk about like his continued popularity / general financial success versus, you know, maybe his like continued growth as an artist. Speaking on the first part, yes, absolutely. He is incredibly in tune with just general internet, meme culture, whatever you want to call it. He has a legion of followers because he knows exactly how to be, at least in this current moment, very relevant. He's also very self-aware, like is fond of making fun of himself. Like I was mentioning this to you, but if you haven't seen it, if you can handle Over the Top, the eve before his album came out, he uploaded a video to YouTube dubbed The Montero Show, which was like a sketch of him being on a talk show, being interviewed by a talk show host. And like, it had a bunch of elements of the typical talk show host who doesn't care about what they're asking. They're assholes. They make fun of you. Someone in the audience who is really just someone who wants to fail, makes fun of you, talks back on the internet. But at the same time, it was the whole point of the video was secretly a reflection on his favorite music videos to date. So in that same video, he was being funny, making something for his fans, but also publicizing all of his previous work and publicizing his new album. So he's very good at, you know, being current, publicity. So I don't think he's gonna have any issues with that. Even besides that too, I don't know if you two knew, but he is a very big advocate for things that he cares about. He has raised thousands of dollars already for various organizations on LGBTQ rights, for youth, for like, you know, mental health awareness. So like, he's definitely going to be relevant in that sector as well. So that's one thing. As for the creativity, like I said earlier, he's very good at mixing together different genres of music. So if you have that skill, in theory, your creative cap is pretty limitless. He's also shown that he can bring in bigger artists to join him on the music that he's working on. He had a Twitter exchange a few days ago with Kid Cudi that they're going to apparently make a song together, which, yep. You know, he can just pull in that kind of celebrity into his future work. So who knows? I think he definitely has potential to, if he's not going to completely remake the genre and be completely innovative, he's going to stay at a level of, you're going to listen to his music and you're going to be like, oh, this is a Lil Nas X album, because he melds stuff together in his own unique way. But, you know, I think he'll have a pretty solid career.
I think Luis touches on the most important parts here, that increasingly success in as a musical artist is not separate from success as an entertainer. And like, you know, the like, if you look at your output as like a portfolio, like the percentage of the entertaining shit that you put out that is actual music changes over the course of your career. Like Snoop is still an entertainer. Snoop, I'm not listening to a new Snoop Dogg album ever, never. But I will watch him comment on the Olympics or whatever. Like, I'm still looking for content from Snoop. In the same sort of way, I'm still looking for content from Fat Joe. Or Joe Budden. Like, I love those dudes, the stuff that they put out now. And I think Lil Nas X is kind of like a new breed of person, of artist or entertainer at this level, who understands from the jump that, like, listen, I've got to develop a whole suite of skills that isn't just, can I, you know, put songs together that people are going to listen to over the next several decades, but like, do I have some sort of interesting aesthetic to put out or interesting perspective to like offer through my art in some way? And he definitely does, and will remain relevant regardless of what, of how people's tastes are going to change, because he's always going to be something that, he's always going to be an intention grab. Always, always.
I was thinking if I could think of a analog to Lil Nas X, like best case scenario. And weirdly, I think it's T-Pain. He was kind of a novelty. You know, what was the name of the first song with the stripper?
I'm in love with a stripper.
Or yeah, I'm in love with a stripper.
I thought you were going to make a joke with that, because I was like, I'm in love with a stripper.
I mean, it's a very kitschy, like, throwaway song, and he took that and took his chance. And I think Lil Nas X started with Old Town Road, and we all, you know, had some varying degree of love for the song, whether it was just like, wow, this is really going far, good on you, kid, or like, you know, I really like the remix with the little yodeling kid, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think best case, but he followed it up with the next album of like pure hot fire, and then another album of pure hot fire. And after a while, you know, T-Pain's actually a star.
Mm-hmm.
T-Pain suddenly, like, people are realizing, wait, he's really, really talented outside of auto-tune and like funny dances and stuff. Like, T-Pain's freaking amazing.
I wonder how many people had a revelation after they heard the Tiny Desk concert.
The Tiny Desk was phenomenal. I think anyone listening to this pod will find over time that we will celebrate various Tiny Desks, because if you, and I will say this every time, if you have not listened to at least one Tiny Desk concert, kill yourself. Maybe too far, but
or go listen to one. I don't know.
Just go listen. Just go listen to one.
I mean, just offhand, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I've made Sam at least see that link several times. Yeah, I think Lil Nas X, best case scenario, we're looking at T-Pain, and that's not a bad career. It's not a bad career at all.
No, I could definitely see him, you know, if he decides to just, you know, I'm not going to do music anymore, he could just be like an online person, if you want to just plainly leave it at that. And he'd probably be very successful at that, because there are various ways you can monetize that easily.
I would sell my soul in a heartbeat to be an Instagram influencer. screw helping the world. I want to make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just hitting my friends in the face with various things.
Listen, you could do that, and you could just donate just what to you would be pocket change, and you'd be doing good for the world. It's right. Not that hard.
Yeah.
For some reason, me posting pictures of my ass doesn't get as much traction as I thought it would. But
maybe it's just right, you haven't found the audience yet.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. But
it's the internet.
Another audience. It's their fault. I agree with you, Luis. It's their fault. It can't be my fault. Another interesting parallel between T-Pain and Lil Nas X, though, is as they are introducing something that is receiving blowback from people, like off rip, like. Usher very famously told T-Pain that he fucked up music for real singers, which has got to be a heartbreaking thing to hear from a dude with perfect.
Also, he's a dick for saying it.
A dick for saying it. They're friends. You should watch the Drink Champs episode. Not that I'm promoting somebody else's podcast on your thing, but watch the Drink Champs
episode. We'll put the logo right there on the bottom.
With T-Pain, because he talks about it. And Lil Nas X, for how he presents his sexuality and everything, obviously gets pushback from all those things, and is going to triumph over that pushback, I'm quite sure, in the same sort of way that T-Pain triumphed. So, you know, yeah, that's a really good comparison.
And let's just, I just wanted to bring up T-Pain because I'm in love with the dude. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Speaking of podcasts, if you haven't listened to Nappy Boy Radio, ladies and gentlemen, you should definitely give that a shot. He's hilarious. T-Pain is hilarious. I didn't realize he was on The Masked Singer because I'm disdainful of that show, and I'm happy everybody's getting a check, but I will never watch your show or spend time, you know, ingesting it into my soul, which is what TV watching is. Got deep there for no reason at all. None. But having now reached what we're in the end parts of September now, so we've got a pretty good view of what the year has been musically. are we approaching the point where Lil Nas X has a top five album and Kanye and Drake don't?
I don't have a working knowledge at the level to make that call right now, nor are we at the end of the year, but I can comfortably go back to my initial point that I think that his album from this year is better than the album they released this year as a whole project.
I think you were telling me about Tyler's album, so we got to put that in the top five. J. Cole was going to have an album. Absolutely. That's two spots already gone. People love Nas albums. That's three spots. We've got two spots left. Three albums from, I guess we have to consider Lil Nas X a top flight artist as it relates to the 2021. Meg Thee Stallion put out an album this year.
For sure, his album is going to have, like, the first four songs on the albums are just, you know, again, not a dig at him because I'm not saying he designed them this way, but those first four songs on the track list are certified going to be like top 100 list or whatever. Back to back, they're just made to be bangers.
And he's got the names that you're supposed to have too in 2021. There's Meg Thee Stallion. There's the ironic or not Elton John guest spot. I think, was Travis Scott on there?
Jack Harlow's on there. Right. I think Doja Cat's on it, and then Miley Cyrus is at the end. As Lil Nas X put it, he's assembling the Cyrus cinematic universe.
You know what? He gets a point for that one.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, he's got the names you're supposed to have in 2021. He's taken a spot on that top five list as far as I'm concerned. So that means that if we were doing the year as of right now, somebody's not on that top five. Drake or Kanye. Not either one of them.
There cannot be a top five without King's Disease 2 in there, as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, so that's, we're at four. We're at four albums that we have said have to be in the conversation for top album of the year. If there's only five, who are you leaving out, Drake or Kanye? I love that it went absolutely silent.
I wouldn't have put either of them in there, quite frankly. I would replace them with Isaiah Rashad's album, The House is Burning.
Let's put
Boldy James and Alchemist album.
Let's put a floor on this. They have to have crossed into societal consciousness. So while those are probably amazing albums.
I feel targeted by that statement. But that's okay.
Sam, the moment I received your playlist and I saw it, I said, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, man, I don't care.
10% of the audience will know what he's talking about. But if they listen, they're going to get it.
I'm trying to educate. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two separate questions. Is, are either of them good enough to be the top five? Or if you had to pick one of them, which one would it be?
It three questions. Will either of them be in the top five? Because there's going to be other albums this year. And I don't know. They've set the bar so low because of who they are. If those albums were by people we didn't know, we would probably view them better than we did.
I mean, maybe based on personal preference, I probably would not, because I despise projects that are purposefully bloated just to fill up space. Like, if you're going to give me something, like, you either have to have a point that it's so, like, such a long listen and that I can actually go through it and not hate myself. Or it's just got to be short. Like Lil Nas X's album it's 15 songs, but it runs, I think, about 43 minutes.
Right.
And then Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator, is also around 50 tracks, but that one is at 53 or so. 15 songs each, all well under an hour long, whereas CLB and Donda just hours of my life that I will never get back.
I remember seeing the time list or the time code on Donda at 1 hour and 48 minutes. And I remember specifically saying to myself, how am I going to do this? And then after the first song, thinking to myself, why am I going to do this? It's so bad.
Separate but valid question. And I'm glad you brought up Call Me When You Get Lost, because the other thing, like, this is, it's funny how the technology, like, influences how music is packaged and put out for consumption. because like there's so many like beat changes in Tyler's songs on Call Me When You Get Lost that it like it's engaging, and DJ Drama's on there like doing all the vocals.
Number one hype man,
dude. I love it. And there's a whole generation of people who are like, who is this DJ Drama character? What is Gangsta Grillz? And I love it, and it's good. But also like the fact that the songs were put together in the way that they were, that there's like record scratches and he switches the beat up, it keeps you engaged for that 45 minutes in a way that like, if you listen to the first, there's so many Drake songs that I've listened to that it's like, I'm not making it to the second verse because I got all the stuff I need. I already
know what's happening.
Right, exactly. It's like, I get it.
The only song that I shared with people I know who didn't listen to CLB, because I was like, I listened to it so you don't have to. I forget the title of it, but it's the one with Rick Ross and Lil Wayne. That song is great.
Yeah,
it's the only good song on the album, other than the intro. I think the intro one is
Champagne
fine.
Poetry.
Yeah, that one's fine. But overall, like honestly, that one, I was like, that's a good song. But
Drake didn't put out a song on that album that was better than the Lemon Pepper Freestyle from Scary Hours, and that is just, that's disrespectful to me as a fan.
Yeah, but like, that song is exceptional, bro.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have a throwaway album that everything on it is better than the actual album that you want me to spend time with. That's fair insulting.
I mean, the way he is singing / rapping on the album for about 80% of the runtime is, he just sounds like he doesn't care. So, I mean, yeah. it's kind of hard to be like, this is what you can do when you try.
I've seen theories that this is a contractually obligated piece of art that he had to put something out, and he just kind of said, "We'll give him what we've got." And if that's the case, I don't know if that's insulting or understandable.
If there's a conspiracy theory that he did this just to fill up space and decided to just full send it into absurdity, including that cover art, then I'd actually believe it and I'd applaud him for that.
I mean, you can't give me, like, what was the song with Lil Baby on Scary Hours? I don't know. But that whole four-pack was pretty much phenomenal. And then you get this mediocre monster. And somehow I still would rather listen to that than Donda. So that says a lot.
Yeah.
But I will admit, Donda has better songs. It's just so hard to find them.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find them.
Easily.
Drake has a very sonically Drake album. And so I could probably just listen to it and ignore it. Whereas Donda's so sonically bad in places that I'd like frown and reach for the immediate remote control. And that's my biggest problem with it, is that there was good there and you didn't care enough to not give me the bad too.
The way I compare it is that Donda was sheer disappointment because you know what they're capable of and they show signs of it throughout, but it's just like, clean this up and you've got something amazing on your hands. Whereas CLB is like, we know what you can put out and this is just you doing a shitty version of that. Like, you basically copied someone's homework and somehow made it worse.
And to circle it back to Lil Nas X, where we started, you listen to Lil Nas X, whether you like him, you don't. That album sounds like something you should be hearing in September of 2021. And there's enough there where he surprisingly has good lyrics in places where you'll stop and listen to what he's saying. Like, I defy someone to listen to Industry Baby and not go, this is a phenomenal song that I'll be hearing in 5 years, because it's still good enough to be played. You can't say that about either one of those albums. Little Nas X put out an album in which 5 years from now, something from that album still getting played. I don't know what's getting played from Donda or CLB. I don't. I couldn't tell you what I'm going to... I got people over and I'm going to pull that album and play. I don't think there's anything there for me. Like, I'll remember that there's a great song there at some point, but not good enough for me to be like, oh, people are over, let's play, you know, Donda or CLB. Whereas Lil Nas X, I might play Montero. I might play Industry Baby. I might play whatever the song is with Megan Thee Stallion. Like, these are songs that have risen above mediocre into like, wow. this kid made this album, let's give him another shot.
I mean, with his, like, if you were to ask me to, like, make a playlist of their music, like Lil Nas X, pretty much everything he's produced up to this point would probably be there. Probably only one version of Old Town Road instead of the 30,000 that there are.
It's got to be the one with the kid, though.
Whereas something that was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he really went for it on the two bars they gave him.
Side note, going back to him knowing exactly how to be socially relevant, like, right. Who else would have done something like that? It was hilarious, and it actually worked. It was great. But, you know, if you asked me to make an album of Kanye, like, just his music that I liked, nothing from Donda would be on there. Nothing would.
Maybe the song with the Lauryn Hill sample. That's a damn good song.
Because, you know, after we listened to Donda, I was telling you how I went back to his older albums and was listening to it. I was like, I'm basically just going to put stuff from, like, Graduation, The Life of Pablo, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I can keep going, but just with those three alone, it's like, I've got like 3 hours of music. I'm good.
All right, well, I'm going to do this. We're getting on our time. We're going to find a way to wrap this up. We're going to start with you this week, Luis. What are you listening to now that the people need to hear?
So this is where my weakness shows, because as I've tried to do in the last few years of my life, my knowledge of the rap scene is trash.
Newcomer. Doesn't have to be rap. We're wide open. Morgan's playlist includes Guns N' Roses. So
saw them live once. Axl Rose was 2 hours late to his own show. It was hilarious. What am I listening to this week? Let's see. Well, I've stuck with Call Me If You Get Lost is constantly on my replay list, but most of things that I listen to are in the rock, the metal genre, pop punk genre, what have you. So it's a complete curveball. So maybe I won't say what I'm listening to this week, but one of my favorite albums by an artist that I think is incredibly good at melding different sounds, whether it be rap, metal, hardcore, or whatever, his name's Jason Alon Butler, but he's been in a bunch of different projects, and my favorite album of his is named Fake History from the band Let Live. It's just a very intense mix of rock, punk, even some elements of soul, as he puts it, and it's just an album that is in my top five of all time. So if you like rock, fast paced, there's a couple of screams in there. If you want something that'll like get you going to the gym, it's absolutely one of my favorite pieces of work ever made.
All right, Sam.
So I mentioned Bo Jackson, the album that Boldy James from Detroit and Alchemist put out. That's great. If you just like, you know, if you are a golden era hip hop person, you will like that album. Also Isaiah Rashad, The House Is Burning. I saw Isaiah Rashad at the Fillmore a couple weeks ago. Phenomenal show. The man is a talent to keep your eyes on. Super soulful dude. Then let me see the wild card that I'll say that I have been listening to this past 2 weeks. Ja Rule's album Veni Vidi Vici. Now, listen, hear me out here. Ja Rule had a phenomenal versus performance against Joe. Both of them did. Both of them had great, and it was super, super nostalgic to me because all those hits came out when I was like first starting to listen to the radio, you know, developing my musical taste. And so I had forgotten that, because Ja Rule, as Fat Joe has said, was Drake before Drake. He was the crossover rap, like, could not miss. 17 number ones from Drake, from Ja Rule. 17 number ones. Not to be sniffed at. But he also had a bunch of, like rappity rap albums, tracks. And so check out the tracks that he did with DMX and Jay-Z on that album, Veni Vidi Vici.
Murder, Inc., yeah.
Phenomenal. It's murder.
I anytime I hear his name, the only thing I can think is Dave Chappelle just going, where is Ja?
Now we know, man.
Hey, look, man, Ja Rule, okay. not to be disrespected. I know he became somewhat of a joke because 50 Cent's just funnier than Ja Rule. And the funny dude in the room always gets the attention. But I think if we go back and play both of their albums, one of them definitively was more charismatic and had more character to their, and it was Ja Rule. I mean, God bless 50. He's done very well for himself, but I probably could have a party with Ja Rule's music and rob a bank with 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not party with Ja. We've seen what his party organization skills are.
So I think my, I guess, bubbling under album right now is Duran Jones and the Indications, their latest album. And it escapes me of the name of it. And I tried to use the title to find it, but my fingers are fat and I couldn't pull it up. But give it a listen. It's not for everybody. It's called Private Space. Look at me. Phone. Private Space, Duran Jones and the Indications. If you want to do a deep cut with them, they've got a song called Morning in America, which is a double entendre. You'll really like it. It's the type of song that I liked and actually sent to my dad. And then my dad did the dad thing and made it really weird and uncomfortable for me to want to listen to that song for a few days. Hey, you know this song? Morning also means something else. I just got that. I'm listening to it again. Great song, son. Well, done with me. Delete.
Yeah, it's been a, both a blessing and a curse that my parents, being, you know, immigrants from Mexico, them personally have just stuck to like norteño, banda, like just music they grew up with. I'm sure they've listened to, you know, genres out of there. I'm not saying that's the only thing they listen to, but I never got my taste in music from them. They never really shared music outside of those genres with me. So everything I know about music is just what I've found and listened to. And I've never shared music with them because when I have, they're just like, huh. Okay.
You should send them the Lil Nas X album and see if they'll give us a 1 out of 5 review.
They won't do that. I guarantee you my mom will start listening and then forget she's listening to it and walk off and just leave it playing in the background.
Oh, my mom would give me a lecture about his lifestyle. And really, who needs that? Who needs that?
My mom gave me a lecture about my lifestyle, so.
All right, well, this has been another episode. Please send all complaints to Morgan L. Martinez on Twitter and Instagram. Correct. That is the complaint department. She will not pass them along to us, and any responses you get from Morgan L. Martinez are not the responsibility of Brownstone. I don't think we have any positive words for the people unless you've got some. Yeah.
Drink more water, man.
Stay hydrated.
Hydration is key. Until next time, people. Some really cool word to exit this pod. One of you guys, just anybody want to help me out so we don't look like we don't know what we're doing?
I already did. It's murder, so I can't.
Oh, my God.